By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome back to our program Rise and Shine. Inshallah, today we will start the show like usual. First, we will hear a blessing of Sunni Salawat upon the final prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, undoubtedly Allah azza wa jal has appointed an angel to my grave who has been granted the ability to hear the voice of every creature. Hence, whosoever recites salat upon me until the day of judgment, he, i.e. the angel, presents to me that person's name along with his father's name and says, so and so has recited salat upon you, subhanallah. Look at what a blessing of sending salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not just our name, but our father's name is presented in the court of the magnificent court of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. And this here is just the ability of just a servant, an angel, just a servant at the court of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam. This is just the ability of this servant. Imagine what will be the ability, the hearing faculty of the best of creation, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Why won't he be aware of our durushi? Why won't he be aware of our situations? Wherever we are, whatever we are doing, we are struggling in life, recite salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, by the blessing of saying durud, our problems will be resolved. Inshallah, now we'll swiftly move on to the best segment of the show, the best segment on Madani channel. Inshallah, we're going to go on to the Tilawat of the Quran. Inshallah, today we will be starting a new chapter of the Quran. Inshallah, today we're going to go through Surah Qaf, which is the 50th chapter of the Holy Quran. So inshallah, we'll go on to that segment now. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan mardood se.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru jo nihayat meherban rahm wala.
Qaf. والقرآن المجيد
عزت والے قرآن کی قسم
بل عجبوا أن جاءهم منذر منهم فقال الكافرون هذا شيء عجيب
بلکہ انہیں اس کا اچمبا یعنی تعجب ہوا کہ ان کے پاس انہی میں کا ایک ڈر سنانے والا تشریف لایا تو کافر بولے یہ تو عجیب بات ہے
اَإِذَا مِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا ذَلِكَ رَجْعٌ بَعِيدٌ
کیا جب ہم مر جائیں اور مٹی ہو جائیں گے پھر جیئیں گے یہ پلٹنا دور ہے
قَدْ عَلِمْنَا مَا تَنْقُصُ الْأَرْضُ مِنْهُمْ
ہم جانتے ہیں جو کچھ زمین ان میں سے گھٹاتی ہے
وَعِنْدَنَا كِتَابٌ حَفِيظٌ
اور ہمارے پاس ایک یاد رکھنے والی کتاب ہے
بل كذبوا بالحق لما جاءهم فهم في امر مريج
بلکہ انہوں نے حق کو جھٹلایا جب وہ ان کے پاس آیا تو وہ ایک مسترب بے ثبات بات میں ہیں
افلم ينظروا الى السماء فوقهم كيف بنيناها وزيناها وما لها من فروج
تو کیا انہوں نے اپنے اوپر آسمان کو نہ دیکھا؟ ہم نے اسے کیسا بنایا اور سنوارا اور اس میں کہیں رکھنا نہیں.
والارض مددناها والقينا فيها رواسي وانبتنا فيها من كل زوج بهيج.
اور زمین کو ہم نے پھیلایا اور اس میں لنگر ڈالے یعنی پہاڑ رکھے اور اس میں ہر بارونق جوڑا اگایا.
تبصرة وذکرا لکل عبد منیب.
سوج اور سمجھ ہر رجوع والے بندے کے لیے.
ونزلنا من السماء ماء مبارکا فأنبتنا به جنات وحب الحصید.
اور ہم نے آسمان سے برکت والا پانی اتارا تو اس سے باغ اگائے اور اناج کے کاٹا جاتا ہے.
والنخل باسقات لها طلع نضید رزقا للعباد وأحيينا به بلدة ميتا كذلك الخروج.
اور کھجور کے لمبے درخت جن کا پکا ہوا تازہ پھل بندوں کی روزی کے لیے, اور ہم نے اس سے مردہ یعنی ویران شہر جلایا یعنی سرسبز کیا, یوں ہی قبروں سے تمہارا نکلنا ہے.
كذبت قبلهم قوم نوح واصحاب الرس وثمود.
ان سے پہلے جھٹلایا نوح کی قوم اور رس والوں اور سمود.
وعاد وفرعون واخوان لوط.
اور عاد اور فرعون اور لوط کے ہم قوموں.
واصحاب الايكه وقوم تبع.
اور بن والوں اور تبا کی قوم نے.
کل کذب الرسل فحق وعید.
ان میں ہر ایک نے رسولوں کو جھٹلایا تو میرے عذاب کا وعدہ ثابت ہو گیا.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم. That was the تلاوت of the first 14 verses of Surah Qaf. Inshallah, I would first like to mention to you a bit of the introduction regarding Surah Qaf. Surah Qaf is a surah which was revealed in Makkah al-Mukarramah. It consists of 3 rukus and 45 verses. And Qaf, why was the reason this surah was named as Surah Qaf? It's because the first ayah of this Holy Quran, this verse, this chapter, starts with the letter Qaf. And Qaf is from those letters which are known as Rufi Muqatta'at. And it is said only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam know best what these Rufi Muqatta'at mean, like Qaf, Yasin, Taha, Alif, Lam, Mim. Words like this only Allah and His Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam know best. And a few hadiths regarding this surah, he said that Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu ta'ala once asked a companion of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam that which surahs did the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam he used to read in the Eid namaz. And this companion, he said that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam used to read Qaf wal Qur'an al Majid, اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر. And in another hadith it is said that narrated by Hazrat Hasham bint Haritha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she said the Qaf wal Quran al Majid, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam used to hear it from the blessed tongue of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and due to this she memorized this verse. And this, the summary of this surah and the main, what lessons is taught in this surah. This surah, it mainly covers regarding resurrection after death. This surah covers coming, getting resurrected after death. and provide some proof and evidence regarding this. And this is one of the key creed beliefs of Muslims, that we have to believe in resurrection after death. And someone who rejects this resurrection after death, then he has come out the fold of Islam. So this is the creed belief of a Muslim that we need to believe regarding resurrection after death. Inshallah, now we will move on to the next segment of the show, which is the Kalam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Allahu ghafoor, Allahu ghafoor, Allahu rahim, Allahu rahim, Allahu yuhibbul muhsinin. Huwa khaliquna, huwa raziquna, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Inna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir. Ya Rabbal Alameen, Allahu Allah, salli ala Taha al-Ameen, Allahu Allah, fi kulli waqtin wahin, Allahu Allah, hasbi Rabbi Jalla Allah, Allahu Allah, ma fi qalbi ghayru Allah, Allahu Allah, Muhammad sallallahu, Allahu Allah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Allah, imla qalbi bil yaqeen, Allahu Allah, thabbitni ala hadha ad-deen, Allahu Allah, waghfir li wal muslimin, Allahu Allah, hasbi rabbi jalla Allah, Allahu Allah, ma fi qalbi ghayru Allah, Allahu Allah, noor Muhammad sallallahu, Allahu Allah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Allah, wo tanha kaun hai, Allahu Allah, badshah wo kaun hai, Allahu Allah, meherban wo kaun hai, Allahu Allah, kya unchi shaan hai, Allahu Allah, sab dilon ki jaan hai, Allahu Allah, uski apni shaan hai, Allahu Allah, hasbi rabbi jalla Allah, Allahu Allah, ma fi qalbi ghayru Allah, Allahu Allah, noor Muhammad sallallahu, Allahu Allah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Allah, raaz dil ke jaane wo, Allahu Allah, haal di pehchaane wo, Allahu Allah, phir bhi tauba maane wo, Allahu Allah, aasiyon ki aas hai, Allahu Allah, uski rahmat khaas hai, Allahu Allah, sab dilon ke paas hai, Allahu Allah, hasbi rabbi jalla Allah, Allahu Allah, ma fi qalbi ghayru Allah, Allahu Allah, noor Muhammad sallallahu, Allahu Allah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Allah, oh Allah the Almighty, Allahu Allah, protect me and guide me, Allahu Allah, through your love and mercy, Allahu Allah, hasbi rabbi jalla Allah, Allahu Allah, ma fi qalbi ghayru Allah, Allahu Allah, noor Muhammad sallallahu, Allahu Allah,
لا إله إلا الله الله الله
Who is the all-capable?
Allahu Allah
The curer and the healer?
Allahu Allah
Who's the dominant all over?
Allahu Allah Hasbi Rabbi Jalla Allah Allahu Allah Ma fi qalbi ghayru Allah الله الله نور محمد صلى الله 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 لا إله إلا الله الله الله
أوف أدر جناها
الله الله
عالم بادشاها
الله الله
يركلرين بناها
الله الله حسبي ربي جل الله 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 ما في قلبي غير الله 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 نور محمد صلى الله 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 لا إله إلا الله Allahu Allah
Eşit Allah derdimi bu ahlara ma Rahmeyle bağışla günahlara ma Hayra ileyhem akşam ham sabahlara ma
Hasbi Rabbi Celle Allah Allahu Allah Ma fi kalbi gayrullah الله الله نور محمد صلى الله 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 لا إله إلا الله الله الله
رب المشرقين ورب المغربين فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان وہ دونوں مشرقوں کا رب ہے اور دونوں مغربوں کا رب ہے تو تم دونوں اپنے رب کی کون کون سی نعمتوں کو جھٹلاؤ گے لارڈ آف دا ٹو ایسٹس اینڈ دا ٹو ویسٹس سو وچ آف یور لارڈز فیورز ول یو ڈینائی
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم دیٹ واز دی کلام آف دا ڈے ٹوڈیز ٹاپک از ریگارڈنگ ہیونگ یور کمپلیٹ ٹرسٹ ان اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی First, I would like to mention two verses of the Holy Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains having trust in Him. The first verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ And whoever relies on Allah, so Allah is sufficient for him. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ Indeed, Allah loves those who trust in Him. Two verses of the Holy Quran which discuss regarding having trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If someone trusts in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that trust for him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be sufficient for him. Whoever needs, he has, if he puts his full trust within Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will be sufficient for him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the individual, the people who trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something which we see common nowadays, that people, they are despair. Something happens or their du'as may not be accepted or they don't see the fruits. They won't see the fruits or the results of their du'as. And then they just despair. They just start questioning the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, Ya Allah, why does this happen to me all the time? Why is this happening to me again? Remember, this is a test. If your du'as, if you cannot see the results of your du'as, know this. You might not see the results in this world, but that du'a will be pending for you, waiting for you in the akhirah. Inshallah, you'll see the results of that du'a in the akhirah, in the afterlife. So this does not mean that you stop making du'a. You continue, you still make du'a in the court of Allah. And inshallah, you'll gain the benefits. And that is something which will benefit us more. Why? But that's something which is eternal, forever. In this world, you might get the du'a, but this world's gonna finish. But if you want actual fruits and you want the results of a prayer, of a du'a, We want that in the afterlife, in the Akhirah. And it is narrated that there was once a pious person who he worshipped a lot. And he used to be in Masjid al-Haram, Makkah al-Mukarramah. He would worship the whole night and he would observe fast during the day. Every evening, a man bought him 2 loaves of bread. And he used to use these 2 loaves of bread to do iftar, to break his fast. And then he would get busy and continue worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the next day again. One day, a thought crossed his mind that, how is this trust in Allah that I am relying on the bread given to me by a human and did not trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the provider of sustenance to all creation? That evening when the man bought the loaves of bread, the worshipper returned them. He goes, I refuse them, I don't want the bread. 3 days passed. When his hunger intensified, he pleaded with Allah, Ya Allah, I need food, I'm hungry. That night he had a dream in which he saw that he was present in the divine court of the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who asked him, why did you return what I sent to you through my bondsman? The worshipfully humbly replied, a thought came to me that I have relied on a man instead of relying on you. Allah said, who kept on sending you the loaves of bread? Who do you think sent that loaves of bread? The worshipper humbly replied, Ya Allah, only you are the provider. Then the worshipper was ordered, now do not return when I send you. In the same dream, he also saw the man used to bring the bread, who was also present in the divine court, and was asked, why did you stop giving the loaves of bread to this worshipper? He humbly replied, Ya Allah, you know it well. You know the reason why. Then Allah subhanahu asked him, O bondsman, to whom did you give those loaves of bread? The bondman humbly replied, I would give you. He was then ordered, you carry on with your deed. Paradise is your reward in return for this deed. Allahu Akbar. That this person, from this, we come to know a few things. That not only giving sadaqah, it pleases Allah, but it leads a person to paradise. And it is also from this incident we've understood that the righteous and pious bondsmen of Allah attain the high status of placing absolute trust in Him. The worshipper used to worship the whole night and observe fast during the day. And he used to spend the day and night in worship. And he had a firm belief that the one who is, he was worshipping would provide sustenance to his bondsmen. He was busy worshipping Allah, so Allah, the one who provided resources, created a means for his sustenance. And the same happened. Every day a person would come in the evening and would give him 2 loaves of bread with which he would break his fast and then he would get ready to worship again. And from this we also understand that placing complete trust in the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a habit of the bondsmen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we learn that when a person he observes a fast of Ramadan, what happens that we lose the purpose of Ramadan. The purpose of Ramadan is to uplift us spiritually. That is the month where a person is supposed to get closer to his Lord, get closer to his religion. What happens is that when people we fast in the summer, the UK, fasts were for around 20 to 21 hours. So someone keeps a fast now, he will be fasting for around 21 hours. And what happens is that we fast for so long and we be in a calorie deficit. But when it's a time of iftar, we eat so much that we eat more than the calories that we're supposed to intake in a day. We have our samosas, we have our kebabs, we have our rice. Our eyes are not satisfied. We want more. You see on the table, there'll be so much food and at the end, only a little amount of food will be eaten. This is not the month of eating. This is not a month of just going all out at the time of iftar. This is the month of spirituality. And when we eat, especially when you eat fast food, this harms us spiritually. Due to the oils used, due to the chemicals in these foods, it harms us spiritually, will not uplift us in spirituality. And we learn from this story that this worshipper, who worship Allah all day, all night, he would observe fast every day, but he would only depend on two loaves of bread. Two loaves of bread will allow this person to run his daily activities. And we should apply this in our lives as well. That when is the month of Ramadan, or even voluntarily fast, we should not go all out in eating. What happens in the month of Ramadan when you eat so much at the time of iftar, when it comes to Taraweeh, which is like around 2 hours later, 1.5 hours later, we feel lazy. We feel tired, we cannot eat Taraweeh because we got full stomach, we're bloated. We got full stomach and we cannot concentrate and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we should eat at least, we should not eat a lot at the time of iftar. But at the time of Sahri, that's when we can eat food, so we can get energy for the rest of the day. And we should make a habit of being content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Today, there are a large number of Muslims who are found suffering from the shortage of sustenance and blessing in their wealth. Such people should make dua for the increase and blessing in their sustenance, along with the wealth of contentment, because contentment makes a person who is blessed with it carefree of the world or whatever it has. And having being content protects a person from asking or begging others and teaches him to place absolute trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Contentment creates self-determination, a sense of honor in a person, whereas obeying desires enslaves a person. Whatever Allah subhanahu has given you, be content. Be happy. This is something, contentment is something even people who have a lot of money. Allah subhanahu blessed with a lot of wealth. Yet people still are not content with that. They want more. As human beings, we want more. We don't be content. And the definition of contentment, it is mentioned that Allama Abdul Mustafa Azmi rahmatullahi ta'ala said that when a person being content with whatever he receives from Allah, lives his life and refrains from greed, that is called contentment. The habit of contentment is a great blessing of Allah for humans. A contented person is blessed with the wealth of peace, whereas a greedy person always feels worried. This is the definition of contentment. That whatever Allah subhanahu has given me and you, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, we are content. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given you a lot of money, He's just given you the right amount of money so you can survive, be Alhamdulillah. I know it is said that a person who has been given more wealth, his question on the day of judgment will be more severe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ask him questions regarding that. I gave you so much wealth. How did you spend that wealth? How did you spend the sustenance which I gave you? Did you spend in a halal way? Did you spend in a haram way? And how did you earn that? Did you earn in a halal or a haram way? So be content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me and you. Just know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you a shelter. That's something that we should show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should be content with that. You don't need a flashy car, you don't need a massive mansion. Just to survive in this world, that is enough for us. Just having the ability to survive in this dunya, that is enough, that is contentment. Do shukr, show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And contentment is, I say, one of the best attributes a human being can have. by being content, a person can overcome his desires. Whereas the person who is not content, he's discontented, he'll end up being a slave of his nafs. And a contented person is, he's privileged to express thanks. Whereas a person who is not contentment, he is always, remains unfulfilled. Even if one desire of his is not fulfilled, he will not remain happy even if one of his desires are not fulfilled. And contentment is a sign of human's outstanding courage, great thought, piety, greatness and patience. Whereas following desires, obedience to nafs, greed, being stingy and hypocrisy distance him from fi sabilillah, the divine path. The importance of contentment can be best judged by the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only bestows this good habit upon his pious and chosen bondsmen. The sacred lives of the blessed Anbiya alayhim as-salam, blessed companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, and pious saints rahimahumullahu ta'ala are the best role models for us to get the actual advice of how to be content. And you can see that when you read the lives of these pious predecessors, the Sahaba Ikram radiyallahu anhum, the Prophets alayhim as-salam, they were content with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them, they were content. Like the Sahabas, the companions, the early companions, what they went through, the difficulties when they accepted Islam, like the individuals, like the likes of Sayyidina Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala, the amount of difficulties he went through due to him accepting Islam, but he was still content. He was still showing gratitude and he was still reciting La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because he was content. He had his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knew, you can say a person like that, they know that I may be finding some difficulties, but I have my trust in Allah. There is a better path for me after this. There'll be a better thing for me after this difficulty. And inna Allah ma'as-sabirin, indeed Allah is with the patient one. When you're going through some difficulties, be patient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. Inna Allah ma'as-sabirin, indeed Allah is with the ones who are patient. And notice that if a difficulty comes to a person or he's struggling, that may be something which may be the means of him getting something better. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may be testing me and you to see if my bondsman has complete trust in me, to see if my bondsman will still worship me, to see if my bondsman will still read namaz, will still go into sajda in my court. This is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see who will succeed in that test. And when you read the blessed seerah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam, that his blessed seerah is full of contentment. He sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam never desired for any worldly rest, or luxury, comfort, nor did he sallallahu ta'ala ever try to gain them. He sallallahu ta'ala used to get great treasures consisting of the spoils of wars, but he would distribute all of them to Muslims. That the blessed family of the Prophet sallallahu, household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, never ate food which would make them completely full for 3 days till the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam departed from this life, from this world. And this, as a Muslim, as an individual, we should take lessons that even though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is the chief of both worlds, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam would rest or sleep on a mat. He said that you would use a leather pillow filled with bark of date tree for keeping his blessed head on. He said that you would never desire to eat delicious and lavish food. Even he said never ate chapati. He said that often used to use the thick loaves of barley bread. Allahu Akbar. This is mine, your prophet. This is the best of all creation. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Look at him. If the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted, he could have lived, he could have had the whole world in his hand, whatever luxuries he wanted, but no. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was content with whatever Allah Subhanahu gave him. He was content. He had his full trust in Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. This is a lesson for me and you. That look at the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that being the best of creation, he was still content. Yeah, Allah Subhanahu gave us so much things. Allah Subhanahu gave us a car. I came in the morning, sat in my car, drove down to the studio. Took me around 20 minutes. That's something you should be content, regardless of what car you have, that you should be content with. You wake up in the morning, you have a shelter above your head. Shukr. Thank Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala provides you sustenance, He provides you with food and rizq. Whatever you eat at home, thank Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And Sadr al-Fadhil Lama Sayyid Muhammad Naeem ad-Din Muradabadi rahmatullahi ta'ala stated that until the apparent demise of the blessed Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the blessed family never ate bread made from barley for two consecutive days. It is also stated in a hadith that the whole month would pass, but the stove would remain unlit for cooking food in the blessed sacred house. The blessed household would merely survive on water on a few days. The second caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar, radiallahu ta'ala, narrated that if I had wanted, I would have eaten better food than you and wore better clothes than you. But I want to save my luxury and comforts for my hereafter. Allahu Akbar. That Sayyidina Umar, radiallahu ta'ala, is telling us that whatever you have, be content. You may not have the luxuries of this world, but save those luxuries for the hereafter. Those luxuries which Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala describes in the Quran, Ghani Paradise, where you'll be made sat on thrones made out of pearls, facing each other, having servants giving you jugs of wine. And the wine of paradise is not the wine of this world. The wine of paradise is pure. It doesn't intoxicate a person. There'll be rivers of milk flowing where you can drink from. You see something, a bird flying in the sky, you want to eat that. Just with the mere imagination, that animal will come to you cooked. These are the luxuries of the hereafter. And it is said in paradise, there'll be no jealousy, there'll be no guilt. Everyone will be happy in paradise. That's how a person will be in paradise. So imagine you're content with Allah. You're happy with whatever He has given you. And now you're just waiting for the result of this contentment in the hereafter. On the day of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will question us regarding what He has given us. If we don't have a lot, then the question will not be easy. It will be easy for us. But if we have a lot, then the questions will be difficult. The amount of answers we'll have to give. So make dua, Allah Subhanahu makes it easy for us on Yawmul Qiyamah. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even though he is the owner of the treasure of both worlds, his life was full of contentment. And therefore we should also follow the footsteps of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and obey him and become contented people. And inshallah, after a slight break, we'll go to the next segment. Inshallah, after that, we'll come back and we'll continue with this topic and we'll go through regarding some advantages and of being content and some disadvantage of obeying your desires and following your desires. So inshallah, now we'll move on to a reminder. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
You know, each person out there has their favorite things. Some have different we can say preferences. Some have different favorites depending on what item it is, what thing it is. Have I ever thought what is favorite to Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal? Subhanallah, our Khaliq, our Creator, our Sustainer, the one to whom I'm going to return. A person passes away, what do we say? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That indeed to Allah we belong and indeed to Him is our return. I'm going to return to Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. However I live my life in this dunya, this short life, whether it's obeying Him and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or disobeying them, I'm still going to return to Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. I'm still going to be answerable for my actions and what I speak in this world. I'm going to be accountable for everything. Subhanallah. Listen to this beautiful narration, or these two narrations, that the most favorite act to Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal is to offer salah in its stipulated time and to perform good deeds, virtuous deeds with parents. Subhanallah. If your parents are still alive, you are most fortunate. Serve them, listen to them, obey them. Obey them so long as they do not instruct you to do something against the Sharia, against the Islamic sacred law. Please them. They make dua for you, subhanallah azza wa jal. And you will be following this command. You'll be following this blessed hadith, and this is one of the favorite acts to Almighty Allah azza wa jal. Another hadith, the most favorite act to Almighty Allah azza wa jal, after the fara'id, after the essential actions, is to enter happiness into the heart of an Islamic brother. Subhanallah. When last have I made fellow Muslims happy? Start with your family. Charity begins at home. We hear this all the time. Start with your family members. Enter some happiness into their hearts. So we don't mean buy them a car or buy them the latest mobile phone or something. No, I mean, just to smile at them. Just to, you know, be concerned about them. Ask them how they're doing. Phone them if they're far away from you. Make them happy for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Inshallah ta'ala, this will help us. This reward will be of benefit for us by doing so. Inshallah, on the Day of Judgment in the grave as well. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala. That was the daily reminder we have this segment every day on this program. Inshallah, now we'll go through some advantages of contentment and what is the consequence of someone who follows his desires. Contentment eradicates the love of this world from the heart, whereas the one who satisfies his desires, he'll keep on falling in love with this world. And a time will come when he considers this world to be everything. He will forget his actual purpose in this world. And this is something which is a deadly poison for a person's deen. A contented person places absolute trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rather than resources. In this way, he protects himself from the dependence on others. On the other hand, the discontented person keeps his eyes on the resources and considers them to be everything. In the same way, he has hopes and great expectations from people. Contentment protects a person from acting according to the desires, and by virtue of his blessings, he lives his life with peace and satisfaction. Whereas acting according to the desires brings about restlessness and stress. So person always in stress life. Where am I going to get my money from? I need this car, I need this money, I need this, I need this, I need this. A person will never be happy. You want more. A contentment eradicates bad habits like greed and stinginess. It is highly effective in developing the passion for being pleased with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for spending in the path of Allah. On the other hand, a discontented person may fall into bad habits like greed and stinginess. Further, such a person starts objecting to the bestowal of Allah if his desire does not get fulfilled. Start questioning the Qudrat of Allah, that Ya Allah, why are you not giving me this? Why are you not giving me that? Always in an end of questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the biggest advantage of contentment is that due to it, one attains the pleasure of Allah. And His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, good news is for the person who is guided with Islam and gets sustenance as per his need and is content with it. Allahu Akbar. This is a hadith in Sunan Tirmidhi. Good news for the person who is contentment with whatever Allah, the sustenance Allah subhanahu wa given him. Allah, this is something which we should be happy about, that we are content with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given us. That will make Allah and the Messenger happy. That brings the pleasure of Allah and His beloved Habib sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And as being content and absolute trust, these are a link. They have to have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they have a great link between each other. As contentment, as you could say, is like the staircase to having absolute trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So contentment, it persuades a person to place absolute trust in Allah, and depending on less wealth, his trust, absolute trust in Allah is one of the very important duties out of the wajib and obligatory acts of faith. So you can say that a person, if he wants to have trust in Allah, he wants to put absolute tawakkal in Allah, first he has to be content. This staircase of contentment, he will climb the ladder of contentment, which then at the end, he will get to the top level. He will reach the heights of having absolute trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ala Hazri Imam Ahlul Sunnah, Mawlana Shah Imam Ahmad, Radha Khan rahmatullah has said that it is the firm obligatory act to place absolute trust in Allah. So after the fard acts like reading namaz, all these acts of worship, another thing which is necessary for us, wajib for us, is to have absolute trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the person, the individual who does not have the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person, his faith is not complete and his heart is still full of darkness. And having absolute trust in Allah is the soul of faith. That if a person has trust in Allah, his faith is firm. And this is an act which brings a person closer to his Lord, brings him close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and gets him away from people. And it gives a person strength to fight steadfastly against difficulties and problems. And absolute trust in Allah in troubles raises the hopes of a person. That if you have complete trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in the times of troubles, even where you are the most down, as you can say, sometimes in life, we feel very down. We appear, we just, something happens, we just plummet down. Even in that scenario, if a person puts his complete trust in Allah, that will give him hope. And it is mentioned, Sirat al-Jinan, Mufti Sahabi mentions that Imam Fakhruddin Razi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, said that tawakkul does not mean that a person gives up himself and his efforts after considering them useless and rubbish, as some ignorant people say, but rather tawakkal means that a person uses apparent resources, but he does not trust them in the heart, but rather trusts in Allah's help, aid and His support. Sayyidina Anas radiyallahu anhu said, a person humbly asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, should I trust in Allah after tethering my camel or leaving it untethered? It was replied, you tie it and then trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this means that we still have to make our means when we do something. That we still have to find the resources. For example, like if a person, as you can say, having trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having sustenance, getting sustenance. We still have to make our own means as well. We have to go out and search for a job. We go out and search for something. And still have the tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. InshaAllah subhanahu will provide you with sustenance. And tawakkul is that one should use resources in any work by considering it to be the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and after that he should leave it in the hands, its result in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That someone goes out, he tries his best to get sustenance, he tries his best to find sustenance, and yet he leaves that, he has a complete trust in Allah subhanahu, and he leaves the result in the hands of Allah. That Allah will provide him, inshallah. If he had complete trust in that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide that individual. And Ala Hazrat, he mentioned that tawakkul does not mean giving up resources, but rather it means giving up trusting in resources. That if someone has tawakkul, that does not mean that you give up in search for a thing. It does not mean that you give up searching for a matter, for a job or gaining risk. It means that you go out, you search, but you leave it in the hands of Allah. You have your trust in Allah, Allah will help you. And like we mentioned in the first story of that man who worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he left his full contentment, he was trusting Allah. And what did that lead to? What did that lead that person to? It led him that to still get food, he left it in the hands of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a means through another person who used to deliver two loaves of bread to him. And it has been narrated that a very pious person who sat in the foot of a mountain after getting himself away from people, he started saying that, I will not ask anyone for anything until Allah gives me my sustenance. But 1 week passed, and sustenance did not come to him. When he was about to die, he humbly requested to Allah, O my Lord, you have created me. Therefore bestow the sustenance on me which you have written in my destiny. Otherwise seize my soul. A voice was heard from the unseen, by my respect and glory, I will not give you sustenance until you go to the inhabited places and sit amongst the people. The pious man went to the inhabited places and sat. Some came to him with food and some with water. He ate and drank water well, but felt a doubt. Then a voice came, was heard from the unseen. Do you want to change my way through your worldly piety? Don't you know, instead of giving people sustenance directly, I like to send sustenance to people through people. From here it has become obvious that it is necessary to find resources to earn sustenance. If a person does not find or use any resources which he has and remains in just claiming to have absolute trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is not absolute trust in Allah. Similarly, considering your own plan to be everything or depending only on resources, that is not absolute trust as well in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the real trust? The real trust in Allah is that one should find resources, make efforts and make a plan, but then he should not trust in these resources, but rather trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is the divine rule of Allah that he azza makes everything done through certain means. Hunger is satisfied when a person eats food. It cannot be satisfied unless a person eats food. Rain only falls when the clouds are in the sky. It does not rain without the clouds. So we need to make our means, we need to make our ways, and then put our complete trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, now we'll quickly move on to the next segment of the show, which is the daily hadith. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Contributing towards the construction of the house of Allah, the masjid, or to ornament and beautify and embellish the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to benefit the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way, is a great act worthy of reward. And if we look at our pious predecessors, rahimahumullah ta'ala, they did such acts, subhanallah. In one narration, we're told that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala passed by the masajid in the month of Ramadan Kareem. This narration is in Kanzul Ummal. And he saw that oil lamps were lit in those masajid. And obviously this benefits the believers, this benefits the participants, the attendees of the masjid. So when he saw this and he looked at this, he made the following dua. May Allah Almighty illuminate the grave of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, just as he illuminated the masajid, the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So partake in constructing masajid, beautifying masajid, embellishing masajid, benefiting the believers who come to the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshallah your grave will also be illuminated. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now inshallah we'll go through the next segment, which is the cartoon. And inshallah when we come back, then inshallah we'll try to close, wrap up today's show. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Kaniz Fatima, good girl.
Kaniz Fatima.
Allahumma inni as'aluka khayr al-mawlaji wa khayr al-mahraj.
Raika, what was that?
I just shut the door. What else?
With such force?
Actually, the door slipped from my hand in a rush.
This kind of rush can also break the door. Make sure that you don't shut anything in a rush, whether it is a door or a cupboard, or drawer or cabinet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll be careful in future.
Kaniza Fatima, good girl. Kaniza Fatima, everyone loves her. She is truthful. Mm. She strikes the wrong end and does the right. Everyone loves her.
Raika! What are you doing?
Just drinking water.
Standing up?
What's wrong in it?
We should drink water sitting down.
But why?
Because it's sunnah to drink water sitting down.
Okay.
And also, Raika, whenever you drink water, you should do so by reciting Bismillah, looking in light, and in three sips.
Why in the light? You can drink water in the dark as well.
If you drink water in dark, and if there's any dust or dirt inside the glass, then that will also go down your belly, which can also make you ill.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
And look at the state of your room. It's all messed up. Your school bag's on the floor, and your shoes are not put away either. And you haven't even changed your uniform yet.
Actually, I was hungry and forgot about it in a rush. I'll tidy up everything in 2 minutes. Ouch!
Raika, be careful!
Oh, it hurts really bad.
You see, Raika, you got hurt by not cleaning your room and rushing through everything without any need. You need to learn from all this.
Inshallah, next time I'll be careful.
Come on, it's time for Zohar Salah now. We should go and get ready to offer Zohar Salah.
Sure, let's go.
Honestly, Raika, I don't know why this girl's always in a rush. Raika, what's wrong with you? You do everything in so much rush that you don't even know what's going around you. First, you shut the door in a rush. And then, in a rush to eat, you started eating without cleaning or tidying up your room. Then again, in a rush, you started drinking water standing up. And now you didn't shut the tap properly. And now look at this. Look, Raika, things don't happen properly when we rush through, and we can make many mistakes if we rush without any need. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has stated, rushing through is from Satan. We should make sure that we do everything with peace and calmness. Sayyidina Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi states that, a believer is he who performs his tasks with reflection, calmness, and seriousness.
Sure, sister. I'll not rush into things in future. Inshallah.
Come on, let's offer salah now. and make sure you offer it with peace and calmness. The summary of the saying of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is that salah is with calmness.
Jazakallahu khaira. I'll be careful of these things in future.
Kaniz Fatima, good girl. Kaniz
Fatima. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Inshallah, in this segment of the part of the show, we usually go through some sunnah and manners. Inshallah, in today's segment, we will go through some sunnah and manners regarding sneezing. So inshallah, in today's this part of the show, we'll go through regarding what you should say when you sneeze. So the two blessed sayings of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He likes the sneeze and does not like the yawn. Number two, when one sneezes and says Alhamdulillah, the angels say Rabbul Alameen. And if this person says Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, the angels will say may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon you. When you sneeze, some manners, you should lower your head, cover your face as you sneeze, and sneeze in a low voice, as sneezing too loud is not a good etiquette. So one way you could sneeze when you sneeze is put your hand down like this and sneeze, so the splashes of your sneeze don't go everywhere. When the one should say Alhamdulillah after sneezing, and it is better to say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen or Alhamdulillahi Ala Kulli Hal. And for the person who hears, so if a person says about sneezing, I said Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, and if a person hears him say or her say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen or Alhamdulillah, then it is wajib and necessary for that person to say Yarhamuk Allah, may Allah have mercy upon you, immediately. And it should be said in such a volume, such a voice, that the person who sneezed and said Alhamdulillah, that person could hear this reply. And then look at this beautiful religion, that you're making du'as upon du'a. And then when the person who sneezes hears this du'a, Yarhamukallah, he should reply and say, Yaghfirullahu lana wa lakum. Subhanallah. Look at this religion, that you sneeze, Alhamdulillah. All praises for Allah. A person will then reply to me and give me du'a. Yarhamukallah, may Allah mercy of you. Then I'll give him du'a back. Yaghfirullahu lana wa lakum. Then may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me and you. What a beautiful blessing of sneezing, that you're just making du'as to each other. And it said that whoever says Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal after sneezing and passes his tongue over all his teeth, he will be safe from dental diseases. Sayyidina Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem has said, whoever says Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal upon sneezing, you will never suffer from pain in the molars. The one sneezing should utter Alhamdulillah audibly, so that it can be heard and answered. They reply, Yarhamukallah, it is wajib on the first sneeze. If the one sneezing says Alhamdulillah on the second sneeze as well, it is not wajib to reply, rather it is mustahab. So for example, a person sneezes, says Alhamdulillah, then you reply, Yarhamukallah, is wajib upon him. Then he sneezes again and again, then it is not wajib. The reply is wajib only when the one sneezing says Alhamdulillah. If he does not say Alhamdulillah, then there's no reply. If one sneezes during a Friday sermon or any khutbah, the one hearing should not reply to this, because when it's khutbah, when the sermon is going, everyone should remain silent. If there are many Islamic brothers in a gathering, you're in a group, if you're in a gathering and someone sneezes and says Alhamdulillah, then it's sufficient if only one person replies, then that is sufficient. Not everyone needs to reply and say Yarhamukallah. If one sneezes on the side of the wall and says Alhamdulillah, the one hearing, then the one hearing should reply. So if I'm in a room and someone outside hears me say Alhamdulillah when I sneeze, then he needs to reply to me. If whilst you're off in Salah, someone sneezes and you recite Alhamdulillah with the intention of replying to his sneeze, your Salah will become invalid. So these are some pearls regarding sunnah and manners regarding sneezing. The main thing is that when you sneeze, Alhamdulillah, reply, Yarhamukallah. then you should reply and say, Yaghfirullahu lana wa lakum. What a beautiful message and teaching we have in this religion that we should always make dua for each other. So one thing you should take from this show today is that practice these sunnahs and manners, and inshallah you'll gain benefits from them. Inshallah, now we'll go on to our last segment, and then after that we will hopefully conclude today's show. The last segment is a promo. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
My dear Islamic viewers, wealth is a blessing from Allah. Allah has given us this wealth whilst we're in this dunya. And we make a decision of where we spend that wealth. But on the Day of Judgment, we will also be questioned about where we spent that wealth. We have a free will to make a decision and spend it in any way we wish. But on the Day of Judgment, you will be asked, where did you spend that wealth? Because this wealth was given to you from Allah Azza wa Jalla. You may be working many, many hours, you may have a degree, you may have studied, and you now are saying that I, because of my hard work, because of my education, I've got this wealth. But Allah give you that wealth. Allah give you them opportunities. Allah give you that strength. And on the Day of Judgment, you'll be questioned. So spending in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla is a very important part of the deen of Islam. And spending in the way of Allah protects our iman. Spending in the way of Allah locks up 70 doors of evil. Spending in the way of Allah can give us a shade for us on the Day of Judgment. So I'd like to encourage all of our viewers to get one of these money boxes of Dawud Islami. Put them in your house and every day just put something in it. There is a saying of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that putting money, spending in the way of Allah in the morning repels evil as well. So let's have one of these boxes in our houses. Put something in there. Even if it's a penny a day, 10 pence a day, you lose change a day. People nowadays, you're walking around with loose change and they don't know what to do with it. Put it in this box. Put it in this box and spend it in the way of Allah. And this box, yes, the brothers of Dawud Islami will open this box, but the reward of this box will be open for you on the Day of Judgment. So I encourage all of our viewers to please get one of these body boxes in their home. There should be a number at the bottom of the screen. There might be an email address as well at the bottom of the screen. But I encourage all of our viewers to have one of these. Inshallah, the team of brothers will collect them from you every single month. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Of the love of the Prophet, it's all over the world.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Now we come to the end of the program. Today's, what we could take from today's program is regarding having complete contentment and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, we'll come back tomorrow with a new topic, a new program, a new day. So from today's program, please be content with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me and you. And always do shukr and show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings we have. Inshallah, till next time. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun